The International Court of Justice ruling yesterday reminded me of something that I heard Rabbi Beryl Wein say when I was in Israel a couple of weeks ago. Rabbi Wein noted that many stories in Tanakh include parties who aren't vital to the story, but their bit part teaches us a lesson. In one example he gave, some stories include the Chartumim, sorcerers, magicians, advisors to the king. The Chartumim have three salient features. First, they're always around to give advice. Second, they're always wrong. And third, the pharaohs continue to fund their existence and consult them anyway. The Chartumim have been wrong since the first time they showed up, struggling to interpret Paro's dreams in Parshas Miketz. They continue to be wrong when they try to mimic the makos of Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, and then to stand before Paro during Shchin. Then they disappear for a while. They return in Sefer Daniel, unable to match the wisdom of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the first parak, then unable to explain Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, and then unable to explain his second dream. To quote Rabbi Wein, the Chartumim are like the New York Times. They've been wrong since the American Civil War, but people keep asking their opinion anyway. What we learn from the Chartumim is that just because society's elders, its advisors, say something, that doesn't mean it's correct. Don't believe society's elders just because they are elders. Sometimes they're just Chartumim. On a more serious note, though, back in October on Shabbos Bereishis, I asked a question. Are we allowed to enjoy ourselves when Klal Yisrael is at war, grieving so many deaths, being held hostage? Today on Shabbos Shira, I have a different question. How do we sing on Shabbos Shira when we don't feel like singing? Eich nashir, es shir Hashem. I may be allowed to sing, but I don't want to sing. One approach is to prepare ourselves to sing by rising to a rare level of spiritual perfection. Mishnah teaches, Kishem Shu Mevarech Al HaTova, just as one blesses Hashem for the good, so one must bless Hashem for what we perceive as bad. In other words, believe that everything Hashem does is for the best, and in that light, there is no tragedy. There are only greater and lesser degrees of celebration. But honestly, it's very difficult for me to practice. Another approach, perhaps more realistic, is to compartmentalize, regulating our emotions by setting aside unhelpful thoughts. Or even better, not compartmentalize, but recognize that we can feel two different things at the same time. Consider the two mutually exclusive commemorations of the Beis HaMikdash, Zecher LeChorban and Zecher LeMikdash. The former grieves destruction. The latter celebrates the glory of what we had before the destruction. Two very different emotional moments, and we experience both. As Rav Doron Peretz, the CEO of World Mizrahi, said regarding marrying off one son while the other is being held hostage in Gaza, the pain doesn't cancel out the happiness, and the challenge and the curse doesn't cancel out the bracha. The human heart is very expansive, and it's able to contain both. So perhaps that's our task today, to put aside or acknowledge our thoughts of death and emotions of grief, and to sing with joy as we read about the march through the sea. But upon reflection, and with help from Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, I'd like to suggest that I've actually had Shabbos Shira backward. Shabbos Shira is not a Shabbos for us to sing. It's a Shabbos for us to watch the Jews who passed through the sea as they sang. Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin observed there are two kinds of relationships between special days and their Torah readings. Usually, we have a special Torah reading because of events that happened on a particular date. So, for example, on Pesach, we left Egypt, so we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim. On Purim, we were saved from Haman, so we read Megillas Esther. Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we read Eicha and Yirmiyahu. But today is the 17th of Shvat. We didn't cross through the sea on the 17th of Shvat. We aren't reading Parshas Beshalach and the Shira because it's the 17th of Shvat, just the opposite. The Torah reading is what makes today Shabbos Shira. It's a special day because of the Torah reading, because we're up to Parshas Beshalach. The fact that we are watching the Jews sing at the sea is what makes today Shabbos Shira. And this Parsha is special because the Jews who crossed through Yam Suf had many reasons not to sing. Yes, they survived 210 years of painful exile, but only after generations of Jews died in slavery. Yes, they escaped the torture of Egypt, but consider the Midrashim about how many Jews died during Choshech and never left Egypt. Yes, they crossed the waters of Yamsuf, but how many Jewish baby boys drowned in the Nile? Yes, they came out of the sea safely, but they were entering a wilderness without food and water. And yet they sang. Maybe because they reached spiritual heights in which they saw that everything was a divine plan. After all, we're taught that those Jews experienced prophecies greater than the visions of the divine throne room of Yeshaya and Yechezkel. Or maybe they succeeded in compartmentalizing, having a Zecher LeMikdash moment that dispelled their Zecher LeChorban, or even acknowledging and experiencing both at once, like Rabbi Peretz. Or maybe they were just struck by the way Hashem reached out to them and rescued them, how the creator of the universe sent a message to Paro, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my child, my firstborn in Israel. The Ribono Shel Olam declared, Ko Amar Hashem, thus speaks God, and he commanded, Shalach Ami V'yavduni, send out my nation and they will serve me. The Melech Malchei Amlachim, the King of Kings, descended to Egypt to personally dispatch their tormentor, highlighting the unique status of the Jewish nation. They recognized their torturers vanquished, their chains irreversibly smashed, and tradition passed down from their founding fathers and mothers validated beyond the doubts of any Chartumim. Parshas Beshalach is important because it shows us that human beings can sing, can have a positive relationship with Hashem, even when they have suffered and are grieving. That may not be us today singing, we may not be ready, but it can be us tomorrow. Our ability to sing is vital. We need to sing as Jews, religiously. And we need to sing as human beings who feel hope and visualize redemption. In Man's Search for Meaning, Dr. Viktor Frankl told the following story that happened shortly after he was liberated from the camps. I walked through the country past flowering meadows for miles and miles toward the market town near the camp. Larks rose to the sky and I could hear their joyous song. There was no one to be seen for miles around. There was nothing but the wide earth and sky and the lark's jubilation and the freedom of space. I stopped, looked around and up to the sky, and then I went down on my knees. At that moment, there was very little I knew of myself or of the world. I had but one sentence in mind, always the same. In the Hebrew, Minametzar Karasi Ka, Anani Vamerchav Ka, I called to the Lord from my narrow prison and he answered me in the freedom of space. How long I knelt there and repeated this sentence, memory can no longer recall. But I know that on that day, in that hour, my new life started. Step for step, I progressed until I again became a human being. That was Dr. Frankl's Shabbos Shira. This morning we read about our ancestors' Shabbos Shira. May we each learn from those songs and come to a Shabbos Shira of our own.